There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to Amazon.com/comedy ad free. That's Amazon.com/comedy ad free to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Welcome to Inside the Comedian with me, David Reed.
Thank you. Thank you for the respect.
Mark, thank you for coming on the show.
Thanks for having me, David.
It's an absolute pleasure to finally see you on the programme. We've been trying for a long, long time.
I wasn't aware of that.
Right. My producer lies.
Quite yeah, I've never been approached before.
Oh, right. Okay. I apologise.
That's okay.
I apologise. You should have been first on the list instead of, I believe, 48th.
Yes, that's right. Yes. It's been going embarrassingly long without...
It has been going a long time. Yeah. I should explain to my audience, who tonight come live from the Edinburgh Festival... Only a few of them not tired of that yet.
That's about the right level.
That's about the right level, yes, in the final week. Mark Watson, you were once described to me by a drunk man at a urinal as too funny for this world. Now, is that true, do you think, or is that just far too sad?
It's hard to know, because all my work so far has been in this world.
Right.
It's the only market that I really know. So
it's frightening, the idea of maybe taking a step out of this world to try a different market.
Apart from McIntyre, very few people have cracked the solar system yet.
Right. Or parallel worlds, you know. McIntyre, again, is quite big in hell.
I would like to distance myself from that remark. I think, to judge from my level of success, I wouldn't say I'm too funny for this world. If anything, I'd say I'm a borderline about the right level of funny for this world. Stroke, sometimes not quite funny enough for this world.
Acceptable level of funny for this world.
I do like the saddest man at the urinal, though.
Yes, yes. No, well, he was quite philosophical for a while, until he was quite unconscious.
A compliment's a compliment.
Yeah. It's when people are on the edge of dreams and reality that they find their truest wisdom, isn't it?
Yes, unfortunately, it's hard to base your career on that audience.
You have them for such a brief window.
Right, yeah. Sometimes I'd like to have an audience of people who actually want to see me while fully conscious, yeah, but...
Well, we can't all have what we want.
We can't. No, we can't. The Rolling Stones covered that.
They did. Yes, they did cover that again and again and again. Now, I've read on Wikipedia and nowhere else that you were born in Bristol, the home of Brunel, Banksy and Butlins. Were those some big shoes to fill? A lot of pressure.
Yeah.
A lot of pressure. Being a baby in Bristol.
It really is. That was a hell of a tough year, baby-wise. Yeah, I felt enormous pressure, actually. I remember thinking as a baby, Christ, I've been born in Bristol, and in about 30 years, there'll be a conceptual artist, and how will I follow that?
Right. It's incredibly difficult.
It really is, especially when you're a baby, because you can't... I mean, you're in no position to paint on the side of a building at that stage.
No.
You can't do anything.
Your stencil work is poor at best.
It is. Yes, there were several big... sets of shoes to fill, yeah.
Yeah.
And then there were things like Portishead and Massive Attack, those sort of bands,
yeah.
Which is multiple shoes. So there's...
a lot of shoes to fill.
It really is, yeah. I've lived under the shadow of all of these people, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, presumably, to fill all of those shoes, you have to start using something other than feet.
It's hard to see how you...
still speaking allegorically, but I can't be sure.
No, well, if you can't be sure, there's very little I can do about it. Yeah. It's hard to see how you could fill the shoes of Butlins, really. Also, I mean, Butlins isn't exactly in Bristol, is it?
Wasn't Mr. Butlin.
I was Bristolian.
Yeah, I believe so.
Well, would you believe it?
I mean, he travelled far and wide, of course.
Of course he did. He went to Devon, yeah.
That's right. But, and his famous redcoats tried to take America back off them, I remember. I believe that's right.
I think that's right, yeah. Didn't work, did it?
Didn't work.
No,
didn't work. There's a musical about it.
Yeah.
But that's a lot of pressure very early on. Do you think that propelled you into this career in some way?
I think so, yeah. I remember being 2 or 3 and thinking, well, I don't know who Banksy is yet, but he's set a really high bar.
Right.
And you never really lose that.
You never lose it. I grew up in York, you see, where the only real pressure was to be better than Shed 7.
And would you say you've done that?
I've got 3 GCSEs. I think I've made it.
You say that, but Chasing Rainbows was a banger.
It was a real banger.
It's on a lot of montages, even now.
It's very true.
I reckon we're 5 years away from Shed 7 not being a viable reference. Even now, it divided the room.
I don't know if those 5 years are forwards or backwards, though. That's the thing.
It's not a 1998 anymore,
really,
mate, for either of us now.
It really isn't. York, we've never forgotten. Because we have no other bands. We're not allowed to forget. They're all Lord Mayor. They still don't know who it is, but they're enjoying the idea. So what sort of child were you, would you say? Were you sort of nerdy and awkward, or were you sort of bookish and uncomfortable?
I suppose you can divide people like me up those two ways, yeah. Yes, I was, as you can imagine, reasonably kind of... I was exactly the sort of child you might imagine. I was in a church choir, for example.
Sure. Sure. Were you a good singer in the church choir, or were you the runt of the litter?
I went reasonably well until my voice broke, and then it was a tricky transitional period. But the voice broke while I was singing in a solo in a Christmas concert, and it was a long way back from there.
Oh, my God. I mean, that's mortifying stuff, isn't it? I mean, when you let down the whole... Not only the whole church, but Christ.
Yeah, well. God, yeah. he's never really forgiven me, ironically, given that that's his thing.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, wow. That's a lot of pressure again. I mean, we're getting onto a theme here in your childhood.
It's been a fairly high-stress life so far.
Yeah. Did you have a hero growing up, you think? Someone you looked up to, someone who made you feel calm and safe?
No. If I had one of those, I would have felt calm and safe much more often,
I suppose. Fine, but you felt isolated and alone instead.
Yeah, I mean, I really liked my dad, and I still do, but I was never one of these people that said, my dad is my hero. He had a moustache, for example.
Very few heroes
you
have moustaches.
You can't really know, exactly.
In the Marvel universe, I believe it's nil.
Yes.
And in the DC universe, I think one villain had a moustache, played by David Thewlis, and it was off-putting.
It's much more like to be a villain
Very
than
off-putting.
A hero, I think. Yeah.
We're getting a picture, but painter's a better one. Now, like 60% of my guests, actually, on this programme, you came through Cambridge Footlights. I say that so often. Tell me, what is the connection between humour and getting good A-level results? Because for the rest of us who didn't go to Cambridge, we just got slightly worse results. And we're now not famous comedians. I'm speaking mostly for myself.
It's harsh,
isn't it?
This
is the height of what I do.
Yeah, that's depressing, isn't it?
Really is.
What were your A-levels?
My A-levels, I got English, maths, biology, drama, and general studies.
5 A-levels?
Yes.
You should be above me societally.
Right.
And yet here we are.
I write to my MP about that most weeks. Mark Watson is still very successful.
Does the MP ever respond? Or?
Never responds.
No, it has me mixed up with Badil, I expect. it's an odd thing, isn't it?
Because
similar A-levels to you. I mean, there was no obvious connection between those and humour. I just started doing it to try to sort of pass the time, really.
Right, so you didn't arrive at Cambridge expecting to go through their sausage machine of successful comedians. You discovered it whilst you were there.
I couldn't even find the sausage machine, in fact.
Well, I think they tell you where it is at Eton. And if you didn't go to Eton, you don't know where the sausage machine of successful comedians is.
I didn't go to Eton, but the phrases Eton and sausage machine do belong in the same sentence.
Yes,
perhaps not in the way that you've applied them.
Had another career ever beckoned you with its big hands?
not really, no.
So you sort of... I'm trying to paint a picture here. So you sort of lost, but then you found comedy. It just sort of fell into it.
I had no real plan.
Right.
I was a fireman for 11 years.
Right, okay.
But I,
Right.
I was undermotivated, you know.
That's a shame. You need to be motivated to put out fire. Because
you really do. It's a very important job.
It is. You can't do a half-assed job. You just sort of... Many people in their jobs think attendance is enough. And as a fireman, it really isn't.
No, as a fireman, you go home and you've got a very distinct idea of whether you've done well or not.
Right.
You've either won, drawn, or lost.
Yeah.
And it has to be a win, really.
You just climb up the ladder, go into the second story window, and then just open Facebook and stay there for 3 hours.
That's right.
They notice, I think, eventually.
And that was what drove me away from the profession, actually. The advent of social media hit me quite hard. Sometimes you are on the ladder and you have a sudden burst of notifications and you think, well, I've got to prioritise somewhere here.
Absolutely.
A lot of being a fireman is going into schools and doing educational talks and singing songs about what you should do in the advent.
Is that a lot of being a fireman?
It's a fair bit of being a fireman. Yeah, because there aren't that many fires.
Right.
There's a lot of free songs. There's a lot of songs, yeah.
Right.
At least every Friday going into a school assembly, and that does... This is the problem with being a fireman, actually. There's a sort of existential problem with it, where it's at its most exciting when there's a fire, but you can't want there to be a fire,
because
then you'd be a psychopath. So it's tiring.
Right.
It's a bit like how, as an undertaker, you've got to want people to die, but that's a weird way to live your life.
It is. I mean, there are probably fewer fires than there are deaths, so the undertakers have a better life of it, I think, if that maths makes sense.
Well,
because there are more causes of death than fire.
No, I don't think that's true. I think everyone dies of fire in the
end. Is that right? I'm not the fireman. You'll know the stats on this.
How would you know?
I wouldn't.
But just as someone that's been in the industry, yes, fire is Britain's only killer.
Oh, wow.
If you can avoid fires, you will live forever.
Incredible.
To pass on this wisdom.
Yes, well, it was very sad to see my own grandmother slowly, rather than die suddenly, you know, from a disease or something, she just slowly faded away as she recognised her family less and less and remembered things fewer and fewer, and then finally, in the end, just passed away peacefully, bursting into flames. It's a very sad story. Really.
Oh, it's soul-destroying when you see somebody succumb to fire over 7 years.
It is. It's a mercy in many ways, isn't it?
When the final blaze comes, it's what she would have wanted, you say.
Yes. Okay, so going back to your early days of comedy there, were those the good old days, do you think, of messing around with like-minded souls, you know, without a care in the world?
It was certainly a golden age of... People talk about the golden age of Footlights comedy, and you should take that sort of thing with a pinch of salt, but 2001 was a great period, yeah. In the period I was at the Footlights, it produced John Oliver, Armando Iannucci, John Cleese... Elvis.
Yes. Many people forget that he started out in shop sketches.
A lot of people do forget that, yeah. Elvis's later career eclipsed the earlier stuff.
It did, but his early greengrocer stuff is brilliant.
Oh, he had some cracking skits, Elvis, Maurice Stewart.
Yes.
Shed 7, of course.
Shed 7, we're all there.
Yeah, so it was almost all talent came out of Footlights in that period, the same period that I was in, yeah. Adele. Beckham.
David Beckham, that's right.
Yeah. Again, mostly known for his football, but he had a cracking 5 minutes about when you go to the chemist but they're closing.
And such a funny voice as well.
Oh,
such a
funny absolutely voice. Absolutely brilliant, yeah.
Incredible. I'm trying to think who else is from that period.
It seems so cruel
to forget about them now, though. But, you know, there's so many.
Oh, there's loads.
So many.
Bross, Nelson Mandela.
Yeah.
Tim Key, although he wasn't really there. Einstein. All this within 3 years of Cambridge. So it was a great time to be there.
Oh,
yeah.
Wonderful. And who was the funniest out of all of those?
Mandela was fucking who. Yeah. But then he got political.
Terrible. It's terrible when that happens. Well, it's not. They have to find their own thing, don't they? But they're never as funny when they believe in anything.
Yeah. Mandela was a lot less funny when he was incarcerated for 30 years.
Yeah, that's
cool. You can see why, in a way.
Playing to very small rooms.
It really... All this material is about how you occasionally saw a penguin out the window.
Right. Yeah, right. Yeah, not many people get that.
If you'd like to see the next series of Inside the Comedian recorded live, then we have a monthly residency at King's Place Theatre in London. For full details, go to mrdavidreed.com.
I'm I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
So you're famed throughout the Edinburgh Festival for that 1 month of the year for your dangerous high concept shows that push both artistic boundaries and audiences' patience often.
This is quite on brand. This is quite
I'm enjoying it. So how long was your last show? You did one of those marathon shows.
The last marathon show I performed was 26 hours. Yes.
26 hours.
Trademark. Longest one I've done was, 9 years. Right. So I performed between 2002 and 2011 solidly.
Wow.
Yeah, it was very...
Did anyone stay for the whole thing?
A number of people did, actually. But there were loads of legal cases afterwards. All of them suffered psychological damage.
Right. So is that a positive boon for you? Is that victory? Is that...
In a way, it is. If you can't be McIntyre, then you just want to fuck people up a bit.
Right.
Yeah.
And call it art.
Yes, and I can't be McIntyre because he already is.
He already exists.
I asked if I could use his name on my posters, but no, apparently not.
Apparently, you can't use his name and face.
No, you can't. You can't use his name, face, or life. No. You can't use his house either, it turns out. They watch it.
Selfish answer.
Yeah, they're quite vigilant about it.
No wonder he's popular in hell.
Which, once again, I would like to distance myself from.
Absolutely. He's a very friendly man. You did many experimental shows. I mean, the nine year one wasn't the only one. I mean, you attempted a few years back to get an audience to collectively raise a child from birth to adult.
That's right. Yeah.
How did that idea come about?
It's a funny story, really.
I'm glad.
That's right. I was in the hospital. I was in the maternity ward.
Yes.
For no reason, I just sort of wandered in, and
it's like the courts of justice. It's your right to browse.
Precisely,
in maternity
wards.
Yes, you're allowed to. You're
very much less popular in a maternity ward, and I was watching all of these life dramas being played out, and thinking what this needs is more exposure.
Right.
So we found someone to give birth live on stage.
Yes.
And then for the next 12 years, the audience raised the child. Gave it all of its tastes and predilections and its political views, everything, basically.
But the project was ultimately a failure, wasn't it?
I don't know if you would call it a failure. There was certainly an awful lot of controversy.
Yes.
And it's an artist's prerogative to provoke controversy.
Yes, but the child is deeply damaged.
Yes, and the mother killed herself.
Yes.
But is that a failure or is it a provocative piece of art, David?
It's a very difficult question.
I've always said, if you don't want to die for my shows, don't come in the first place. And I have seen a kind of downturn in audience levels.
Yeah,
it's true, yeah.
Well, because they're dead. I mean, that's
because they're either dead or don't want to die, yeah.
Right. I think you're right. I think that is art. I think that is art.
Yeah.
It's upsetting, but it is art.
I think so, yeah.
Yeah.
There was... the thing, you want to try to push the boundaries of your art. I think there was that whole show where I just tried to ride a zebra for a month. Can't be done, of course.
Can't be done. Famously, it's why we don't ride them.
Yeah, they look like horses. Stripey. But other than that,
they know
horses.
What a zebra is.
Yeah, they will have seen one. They will have seen one.
They've seen it.
Imagine a panda, but a different shape.
Yeah, it's like you've wrapped a panda's fur around a horse.
Yeah, right? Which we've all done.
We've all done it.
So that was a tough year at the Underbelly.
Yeah, a whole year doing the Zebra show.
It was really difficult, yeah. Right. That's what not everyone knows about me, that when the festival's over, I stay here.
Yes. Yeah. Keep going.
Yes, 172 shows last year. Wow. It is tougher to get the crowds once the fringe is over. Yeah, there's no doubt about it.
Yeah. Yeah, I can see that.
You think it'd be easier because there's none of these circus cunts flowering. Once Silent Disco's gone, you think Edinburgh would be a paradise, but you forget that a lot of audience members have left as well.
Right, and the Scottish are left behind.
Yeah.
These shows have been incredibly successful, though, I have to say. I mean, you were the first recipient of the BAE Systems Ofcom and Uncle Joe's Chicken and Fish Ease Award.
That's right, yeah.
Yeah, which must have been a great honour. Did you feel like you were winning art? Were you the winner of art?
I think so, yeah. I remember that there was a lot of... there was a bit of a hoo-ha because the portrait gallery closed down.
Right.
And a lot of other sort of cultural institutions just said, fair enough, Watson's won it. So Cirque du Soleil disbanded, for example. I felt bad, the zoo closed down, sport stopped. Yeah, but in the end, life is a competition. I was delighted to have won.
I forgot sport stopped.
Sport did stop,
massive,
yeah.
Yeah,
there's no sport anymore.
We forget now, but it was massive.
Oh, sport was enormous.
People were quite into it.
Remember when you used to get sport?
Yeah.
Oh, you'd be, people would be all over it. Football, but not anymore.
No.
Because it was like, well...
It's you now.
I've made it all irrelevant. Yeah.
So, since the demise of sport, apart from that, has the festival changed much in your time, do you think? Is it better?
Yes.
Great.
Yeah, I think it is, because I'm doing more stuff at it. There are still problems, obviously. There are an awful lot of shows.
That is an enormous problem.
It's a huge problem. If you could improve it in one way, you would get rid of basically all the shows.
Oh, just click your fingers and half disappear would be perfect.
Sometimes I think the festival should be run like a golf tournament. You know, there's a cut and half the players go home. I think at the end of the first week, if your show's going, just go home. And then at the end of the second week, people should be eliminated from the festival,
basically.
So on
the final day of the Fringe, there are two shows left.
On the final day of the Fringe, just Acaster is here. Yeah.
Great. Atop a massive pile of discarded props and posters that have just been thrown there in anger.
Acaster's riding a bass drum down the Royal Mile with his dick out.
We all already want that.
Of course we do. Why, the public will is there. Why can't we make it a reality?
Well, I think we can. Have you got his number? We can call
him. I actually do, yeah. Imagine if I texted him now and said, got a great idea for you, mate.
Massive tournament.
I don't think he's here, but on the other hand, massive tournament.
Is that what
he calls it now?
Yeah, he does call it the massive tournament. Massive tournament. It's a knockout. You've had quite a few screen appearances, haven't you? Like the big screen, the silver screen, and the small screen as well, by which I mean a phone.
I've sent a lot of texts in my career.
People don't always know
how many I've done.
Big text man.
Enormous, if you look at my CV, there's thousands of texts on there.
Wow, really?
Yeah.
Incredible.
Some of the best ones. Some of the texts we all know and love came from me, but they were missent.
Right. Top one?
You know when people write XX for two kisses and it turns it into a kissing face emoji?
Yes.
I don't like that, so I'll correct it back to two kisses. That's how high-level texting I am.
That's curated text.
Yes, really. I'm not boasting, but I will overrule emojis if I don't feel that they're justified.
Fair enough. I'm totally with you on that. Would you ever do Bake Off?
You're speaking as if I didn't win the Bake Off in 2014.
I'm sorry, but would you ever host Bake Off? Obviously.
Yes, I'm sort of waiting for the call to come through. When you're a former winner, you do expect that you might be honoured by the show, but the call's never come.
Well, I'm sure it will one day.
I'd be delighted to host it, yes.
It'll become like National Service, that we all have to host Bake Off at some point.
Yeah, my uncle's had 2 weeks on Bake Off.
Right, Bear Grylls tried to kill you on live television, is that right?
I mean, actually, that is almost right. Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
How did he try to do it?
In open hand combat.
Right. And what have you done to upset him? Is Bear his real name?
No, that's why I upset him. I went public with the fact that his real name is Edward. It's a public school sort of affectation.
Right.
Yeah.
And his Grylls.
So it goes like Edward, Teddy, Bear. And of course, Grylls was furious. So we got into a fight live on TV. I tried to punch him, but he's a survivalist. It's very hard to punch one of those guys. They just duck.
Right, that's how you survive a punch.
Precisely.
They know all the tricks.
Yeah, of course. He's written a book about surviving. Right. You're not going to be able to hit him in the face, are you?
Right.
So we had a fair old bit of combat actually in the end.
And you were in a bad way for a while.
I came out of it badly, yeah.
Yeah.
It was probably the worst celeb fight I've had since I took on George Alagaya.
Right. You are known for your celebrity beefs.
I'm constantly having celebrity beefs, yeah. And occasionally they turn out well. I killed Trevor McDonald, famously. For a long time, I was all about newsreaders, and I should have stuck with that.
Yeah, but really, some of them have incredible upper body strength. But below the waist, wasting away because they sit down for most of their career.
That's right, yeah. There's a good reason you'd never see Hugh Edwards, the lower half of his torso. There is
none. No. It's like two bits of wet spaghetti.
Yeah. Hugh Edwards is a weeble, essentially.
He really is. And you can quote Mark on that.
I'd be surprised if anyone does. It's hard to see when that will be useful to anyone.
Yeah. And our audience may not be aware of this, but you've also written a staggering number of novels.
48, yes.
48 novels.
Yeah, so well over one per year open on the Earth.
Right. I mean, that's an incredible... How do you ship them out in such number?
I'm just constantly doing it. I've written three while we've been doing this, for example.
Yeah,
you can't always see me doing it, but I've got... I write with... You know, there's an American president who could write with both hands simultaneously.
Not recently.
No, not in the past 3 years, no. It's been a while since we had a president that could write simultaneously with one hand.
Yeah, that's true.
Someone like Jefferson and one of them. Anyway, I'm one of those guys. I'm a polymath. I can write simultaneously with both hands and both feet and my dick. It's been dick writing, yeah. So I normally come out of a day with 4 to 5 novels.
Oh, fantastic.
And I just sort of flood the market with them like Barbara Cartland.
Right. So what's the best of your novels about?
I think...
The one good one.
Difficult because when you've written as many novels as me, you obviously get a lot of tweets and a lot of fan mail,
yes.
I think. I think the one that people talk about, the one that people stop me in the street and talk about is The Man and His Bread, which is it's about a bloke who goes out to buy a wholemeal loaf. There aren't any. And that is it, really. But people often say that a great novel is all about simplicity. And
it's about the journey rather than the
end. Of course it is.
Does he get the bread?
Well, do any of us.
Oh, I want to read it now.
Yeah.
I want to read it now.
He does that.
He does. Okay.
Yeah.
Bread do any of us?
We all do,
We all get it.
It's
readily available.
It's easy to get bread, yeah.
It's really
good. In a way, that's why I wrote the novel, to remind people that you can always get bread.
Yeah. No, fair enough.
It's lovely. Wick some beans on that, you're all right for the day.
Yeah, it's very simple food.
A lot of my novels are just about grocery shopping and how it is within all of our grasp.
I'm starting to understand how you write them so quickly.
That's right, yeah. I remember my 30th novel was called I've Got My Beans. That went down reasonably well.
Already had them. Just talking about how you'd already got them.
That's right, yeah.
Mark Watson, thank you for letting us inside you. Thank you, good night.
Thank you.
Thank you for listening to Inside the Comedian with me, your host, David Reed. For the latest news and guest announcements, please follow at Mr. David Reed on Twitter.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.